Psalm 61. If you turn to Psalm 61 and keep your Bibles open as we look at this psalm together. Notice especially the last part of verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This psalm has been described as a lament. It is a psalm of David, who was away from home. That's clear in the psalm itself. And probably, most of the commentators think anyway, in exile, having fled from Absalom, his son, who rebelled against him, and who wanted to kill him, and rule in the kingdom. David has been on the run, and he's in a desperate situation. He needs the Lord. Who else could help? And this psalm is his lament and his longing for God to do something. He wants to be on the rock that is higher than I. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being by the seaside and the tide has come in and suddenly you've looked and how will you escape? Along the beach, the way you came in, the tide has come in and you're trapped. And maybe you've had to clamber over some rocks. The story is told of a clergyman somewhere on the coast, that's where his parish was, up high on a cliff, and there was this bay that often caused people to be trapped and sometimes drowned because they couldn't escape. The water came in, there was no way out. And the story is told of this clergyman, don't know his name, but he cut steps in the cliff, steps up to the top, and the story goes that many lives were saved as they climbed up to the rock that was higher than them. They were free. Well, you may not have been trapped on the beach, but I guess in our lives all too often, trials come, we face troubles, we face difficulties, we face heartaches, we face uncertainties. We're a bit like David, we have a longing for God and for something to happen. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, Colossians 3 verse 1 tells us. Or Matthew 5, 6, where Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We need an answer, we need an escape, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this little psalm, it seems to me, divides into three prayers as David the psalmist cries out to God, praying for three things. Verses 1, 2, and 3, we see him praying to God for protection. Praying to God for protection. Notice what he does, how the psalm begins. Hear my cry, O God, attend my prayer. He cries out. He doesn't just say his prayers, he's crying out. Do you ever cry out in prayer? Because you're earnest and you're burdened or you're trapped or there are trials and you want God to hear. He cries out earnestly in supplication. He wants to be heard. And he underlines it by saying, attend to my prayer. Listen. You ever heard a small child, you know, when perhaps mum is out shopping or something and the child wants something. Listen, listen. You're not listening to me. Listen. Well, of course, God does listen to us. But we need to cry out to him and ask him to take notice, to attend to my prayer. He's not just saying his prayers. You know the old hymn, I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? Not just words, this is an earnest cry to God, because he's in trouble and he needs help. Jesus taught us in Luke 18 verse 1 that we should always pray and not give up. You ever feel like giving up? You pray for some time for something and it hasn't happened. You've been in a difficult situation and no answer seems to have come. Oh well, is it worth it? Yes, it is worth it. We ought always to pray and not to give up. That's the teaching, not just of here, but of the whole of Scripture, isn't it? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I was reading, it's in one of the little Bible notes that we use sometimes, of some of the orphanages in Romania after the Ceausescu regime was toppled. And people would visit them and going into the baby's room and there was no noise. No babies crying. Silence. But babies cry, don't they? No, they weren't there. Why? Because they'd been there a long time and nobody listened. Nobody listened. That was a sad state, wasn't it? How different is our Heavenly Father who hears our cry, but who encourages us to seek his face, to call upon him. How many verses do you know in Scripture which encourage you to pray? There are so many out there. Ask and you will receive. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. You'll know them. Let's make sure that, like the psalmist, we put it into practice. Praying to God for protection. We see what the psalmist does. We see where the psalmist is. In verse 2, from the ends of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. He is distant from the ends of the earth. He's a long way off. Some debate in the commentaries about whether it means somewhere physical or somewhere spiritual or emotional, whichever way, it doesn't matter. He feels afar off. You ever feel that? Sometimes that God seems afar off. Sometimes people use the expression, well, I felt my prayers didn't go any higher than the ceiling. My dear friends, they don't need to, do they? Because God is below the ceiling as well as above it. And he hears the cry of his children. And that's so wonderful, isn't it? From the ends of the earth, when you feel afar off and estranged and away, when you feel distant, keep crying. I cry to you. And not only distant, he's distressed. When my heart is overwhelmed, he's sinking. He's growing faint. Things are getting worse. You ever feel overwhelmed by what's happening in your life or in this nation or in this world? Don't you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes I do when I look at pictures of Ukraine and the war that's going on there. It seems so awful. But it should drive us to keep on praying. Because God is sovereign. And you get news sometimes, not as much maybe as you'd like, but you get news that despite what's happening, there's a church in Ukraine, there are believers there, the gospel is spreading. There are a link over the years with Child Evangelism Fellowship and there are children's groups over there and many are getting the gospel. So where there are awful things happening, God is sovereign, he works his purposes out. Be encouraged by that. Spurgeon once commented here, tribulation brings us to God and God to us. Isn't that great? He's distant, he's distressed, that's where he is. But notice who the psalmist seeks. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. How often in Scripture God is described as the rock. He's certainly the rock that is higher than I. We sing the hymn sometimes, don't we? I almost had it this morning, but changed my mind in the end. But you'll know it. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And top lady, Augustus top lady, who wrote that lovely hymn, which was prompted by an experience he had, wasn't it, in Cheddar Gorge. Psalm 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's the cry of the psalmist. Lead me. There is a place of protection. There is a place of security. There is a place of safety. It's found in the Lord Jesus. And we are asking him to be led to him. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He is over all. He is sufficient for all. Have you come to him? Are you trusting him as Saviour? Have you found that strength and protection and blessing he gives? This is a prayer to God for protection. That's why the psalmist does so. Because he's got enemies. He's in trouble. Look at verse 3. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. You got any enemies? Yes, we have some, haven't we? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Pressures come. Troubles come. Heartaches come. Difficult circumstances loom large upon us. We don't know what to do or where to go. There's the enemy. But the psalmist knows there is somewhere. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. There's this place of protection. Haven't you been waiting for a bus sometime and it's cold, wet, windy night? Gale is howling, the rain is pouring. But by your bus stop, there's a bus shelter. And you're okay because you're inside and you're dry until you see the lights of your bus coming down the road and you're okay. A shelter. That's good, isn't it? And that's a picture of what the Lord is. You've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy, this kind of fortress, this place of protection. How wonderful. The Lord, a strong rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's a rock. He's that sure foundation, isn't he? 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we read that second reading from Matthew chapter 7. Did you not think of some of the old choruses about building on the rock? And that's what we're to do. Build on the rock. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of refuge. He is our shelter. He came. He died on the cross for us. He dealt with our sin at Calvary. He cried out, it is finished. The work is done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It is the glorious gospel. No, turn to him. Trust him if you don't already do so. And if you do so, stay with him. Come again and again and seek his help and his shelter. The psalmist believes God. But he still wants to know that place of security in his day of trouble. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So that's the first little part of this psalm. Praying to God for protection. We need it in these days. Secondly, verses 4 and 5, praying to God for provision. Notice here, first of all, what the psalmist expresses in verse 4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Here's this cry from his heart, confessing what he's doing and what he knows already. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. I was talking to a man yesterday. He's a dear friend of ours, turned 90, and he's not at all well. And they need to go away for a few days. And he said to me over the phone, "You know, really, I'm quite content at home." There's no place like home, is there? And the psalmist feels that. "You've been a shelter. I will abide in your tabernacle forever and trust in the shelter of your wings." At home with the Lord. One of the old hymns says, "Jesus, keep me near the cross." That's the place. At home with the Lord. And isn't there a sense in which that kind of leads us on to a longing for heaven? We groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. To be with the Lord forever. And he says, "I'll trust in the shelter of your wings." Haven't you seen a hen, mother hen with the chicks all under the wings? Or you know, the little birds? It's the time, well, it will be soon, I guess, for birds to make their nests. We had some blue tits go into our little nest box by the side of our shed when it was slightly warmer, but the weather's got colder again, so she's not been back at the moment. But they'll be there, and they'll be making their nest, and there'll be then the little chirping of the chicks sheltered beneath the wings of the mother. And that's a lovely picture, isn't it? "I'll trust in the shelter of your wings." How wonderful. All our needs met. "Because my God shall supply all your need." There's a place of provision here, isn't there, in this? And then there's the word Selah, which, I mean, stop and think about that. It's worth doing that, isn't it? This place of protection, this shelter, being at home with the Lord, being in his care, in his fold. "No one shall pluck them from my hand," says the Good Shepherd, concerning his sheep. Everything necessary is found in him. Maybe you're thinking about summer holidays, and you're looking at different places where you might go and stay. You're looking at, we don't look at brochures these days, do we? Most of us get on the computer and look online and see what's there. And sometimes you spot a place that looks okay, but then you discover there's no washing machine or something like that, and don't want to go there. And here's the place where everything is met, every need. It's sufficient for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. How wonderful. And notice that there's more than that here for us as we move on from the Selah. "For you, O God, have heard my vows." She's heard us. He knows our needs. And see what he'll do for us. "You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Here's our inheritance from our God, who hears us and knows us and knows our needs and everything about us. He hears the vows that we make, and he provides for us with this heritage. Doesn't that speak of the glorious generosity of God? And I see that in two ways. I see it as his provision now. I think of Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Think about that this morning. All his benefits. Count your blessings. Read that psalm again. It talks, doesn't it, about what there is for us in the Lord. And that's so wonderful. He provides for us all his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and mercy. All that I have in Jesus. Do you ever moan? Do you ever complain? Don't. We're not to complain or to grumble. We're to be thankful for what we have and to rejoice in what God has given to us. All his benefits. But there's more in this inheritance that's for us, isn't it? Because this is pointing us forward to heaven. And I think of 1 Peter 1 verse 4, where we have an inheritance, listen to this, better than any earthly inheritance, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. Isn't that marvellous? What a future is ours. What is promised us in this? How wonderful that is, our inheritance. It's the inheritance of those who fear your name. Fear him, you saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. What provision there is for us, even today, as we pray. And then thirdly, verses 6 to 8, praying to God for permanence. We often say, don't we, all good things must come to an end. After all, soon this service will come to an end and the joys of fellowship will be over. We'll make our way home. And like our holidays that maybe we're planning for now, if we're spared, will come to an end one day. That lovely dinner you're looking forward to when you get home. You know, you'll have eaten it and been satisfied, but it's gone, it's passed. But it's not the end, is it, for the believer? That's what this last little bit is about in 6, 7 and 8. Praying to God for permanence. Notice, first of all, what David desires. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. What a future. Permanent preservation and protection. How wonderful. You will prolong the king's life. David has kind of changed the tune now. Instead of speaking personally, he's speaking about himself as king, which of course he is. You will prolong the king's life. And of course, these sad circumstances with Absalom's rebellion and so on, there was victory for David and a return to Jerusalem and to carry on as being king. And 1 Chronicles 29:27 says that David ruled over Israel for 40 years. He died a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth and honour. David's kingdom did grow, as did his fame and his success, by the grace of God. He was spared for a long time. But, of course, his kingdom continued, did it not, in successive generations. Spurgeon comments, David saw successive generations and his descendants, in his descendants, he lived as king for a very long time. But you've got to go on from there to the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't you, great David's greater son? Hebrews 1:8, we read, unto the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever. This is a pointer to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock that is higher than I. There's future permanence in Christ. We abide eternally in the Lord Jesus Christ. David will one day die physically, but David was used by God to write the 23rd Psalm that we have and I referred to earlier. And my favourite verse, one of them, shouldn't say it's my favourite verse, I've got plenty, but here's one that I love. And it's the last verse of Psalm 23, verse 6. Think about this. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just some. All the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious? A permanent, eternal, heavenly home. That's what David seeks, and that's what he has, and we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. How marvellous. Because the Saviour abides forever in him, so shall we. And so, There's a promise, isn't there, at the end of this psalm in verse 8. David's response. So I'll sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Because of all there is in this permanence, in this future that's assured in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the mercy and truth of God about which this psalm speaks, this is how we're to respond as well. I'll sing praise to your name forever. You find sometimes you don't want to sing God's praise? I mean, I guess I do. I guess we all do on occasion. Things have gone wrong. We can't see why things have worked out as they have. Some of the trials we face, why did God allow that? Listen, get an eternal perspective. What a glorious future. And that ought to stir us up to sing God's praise forever. W.S. Plummer, the Puritan commentator, says, David expresses his gratitude in solemn devotion, praising your name forever. God make us full of praise continually. And that's not all, is it? That I may daily perform my vows. He's going to praise and he's going to practice what he promises. He's going to keep his promises. How many times have we made promises to God in prayer and then we've either forgotten them or we've not fulfilled them? Here David promises, I may daily perform my vows. We sing sometimes, don't we, hymns of great commitment, like, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. But we need the next line, don't we? Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Lord, help me to keep going. I can't do it without you. So we end on this note of praise and of promise as we just go back to the end of verse 2 and pray, lead me to the rock that is high up than I. Remember the hymn which has in it the words, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray.